Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Okay, good. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other as better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for giving us breath this morning, and for giving us a new day and a fresh start. And just pray, Father, that whatever it is that you have to speak today, that it be spoken, and that we receive it with open hearts, God. I just give myself to you, Lord, and I just pray that you would purify the words that I speak and that everything that I say be from you, and things that are not from you would just fall on deaf ears. So we love you, Dad, in this place, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about a subject that was very hard for me, which is submission. And you know, for the longest time, I always thought that submission was something that I didn't want to get involved with. You know, I always had this perception that submission was for people who had weak character or that they had low self-esteem, you know, or they, you know, had, like, hated themselves or something like that. Because, you know, like, in this world, right, if you allow yourself to get walked all over and be submissive, then people are going to walk all over you. You know, that was my perception. And it's like, you know, I totally submitted to the idea of, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You bloody my nose, I'm going to knock you out kind of deal, you know? And so I always thought that submission was not for me. You know, like, it's all cool, and, you know, we can do it in church, but in reality, that doesn't benefit me, so I'm just going to stay away from that. That was my misconception. And another thing, too, I thought that submission was confusing, because technically, you could submit, you know, just in action and not submit in your heart, right? So, but I don't think that that's the kind of submission that God has called us to do. Like, for example, right, my boss, my old boss, not Sophia, but my old boss, just to clarify, I used to teach cooking, and sometimes my boss would be very particular about the ingredients that I buy. So at the beginning, I was like, okay, whatever, it's not a big deal. I submitted in action. After a while, I noticed that there was bitterness brewing inside of me, because I was like, man, like, these eggs aren't different from those eggs. I'm just going to, fine, I have to, because, you know, like, she knows, right? And so then I just submitted myself. But in actual fact, there was still bitterness in my heart. In my heart, I didn't submit. And so eventually I realized that that kind of changed into from me judging the things that she would tell me to do to me actually judging her as the person. You know, and that was very unhealthy. At the end of our relationship as boss and employee, it wasn't bad. You know, there was no blow up, but I can still sense, you know, I could still feel the tension. You know, somebody knows when you're not submitting to them in your heart. And again, I just want to reiterate that that's not the kind of submission that God had intended for us. Yeah, just even the mere fact that I'm standing here sharing this morning is a struggle for me and a test of submission. Because to be honest with you, I don't want to be up here. Or I didn't want to be up here. So what happened was I was talking with one of our pastors who shall not be named, Hansu. And he basically, I was sharing with him about how I'm like, man, it's so awesome when I see women preachers on the pulpit. You know, I'm like, thank you, sister. I'm just like, yeah, why don't we see more, you know, more women at SP, you know, like pastors of SP going up and preaching. And he's like, you know, he looks at me, he's like, yeah. And, you know, I went on, you know, I was like, you know, I look at our staff, all the pastors on staff, they're like big burly men looming over you. You know, I just went all out. And so this was when we were in Korea for Audrey Marcus's wedding. I come back and lo and behold, one day during staff meeting, PSAM looks at me and says, hey, so I heard you want to see more women preachers. And I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. And he looks at me in the typical PSAM manner with his eyes all big. And he's like, ask and you shall receive. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, but that's not what I was asking. So all that to say that, you know, for me to share today was a struggle for me. I had to submit, and not just, I had to practice submission, not just through my action by actually being here, but I had to check my heart. Am I doing this for the right reasons? And so that really helped me. It really changed my perspective. And it just goes to show, you know, like God knows exactly what you need and what season, right? And so I've come to notice during this process that the biblical teaching on submission, it focuses, you know, like we have submission to the word, submission to God. But today I just want to focus on submission in the sense of our view on each other. Okay, so the focus today on submission would be primarily on the spirit in which we view other people. Sorry. Give me 1 minute. Yeah. Okay. So in which we view other people. So the reason why I didn't want to do this was because I didn't want to do this. Pure and simple, it's because I thought that if I had things my way, I knew what was good for me, right? Like, I don't want to preach. I don't know how to preach, and so I'm not going to preach. And so that stirred up a lot of, you know, bitterness within myself. But in actual fact, when I came to submit, it freed me of a lot of things. It freed me of having to rely on myself. It freed me to having to perceive that I knew what was best for me. And so in letting go, I began to enjoy reading the passage, and I began to realize its relevance in my life right now. And so it was a very freeing procedure. Like, I was able to actually enjoy preparing for a sharing, which I didn't really think was possible to begin with. So that was very surprising. to be honest, sometimes things that get us really riled up, things that we don't want to submit to, at least in my life, we look back at it and it's like, oh, it's not really that important. It may have seemed important at the time, but in the bigger picture, it's not really that important. For example, like some things that I fought for before in my life was the right to wear sandals to a church retreat. Like, because I come from a very conservative Chinese Baptist church, right? And so in my mind, I was like, oh, it's my culture to wear sandals. I wear sandals all the time. Sometimes I go barefoot. It's my right, you know, so I'm going to wear sandals. But then for the other person's culture, it's very disrespectful, you know? And so for me to need to, you know, come above the other person because it's my right. In the end, I just caused, you know, a lot of embarrassment for my dad and a lot of struggle between me and my like my cell leaders, you know. And at the end of the day, I just needed to put on a pair of shoes and everybody would be harmonious, you know. Like, and it was just my inability to submit. Another thing is, I insist that my dad calls our cell phones as opposed to our house phones, because, you know, a couple of things. One, we have like 3-4 cordless phones, and they're really loud, and they're always lost in the house. So whenever somebody calls, I'm like scrambling. Sometimes the phone's out of battery, and so the dock is ringing, and you can't turn that off. So it's annoying. So almost every time my dad, when I finally get him on the line, I give him attitude and be like, "Dad, I told you, don't call the house phone. Can you please call the cell phone?" But in reality, it doesn't really make that much of a difference in my life. You know, it's really something that I could just easily just submit to. And I went out of my way to fight against what I had been told, because I wanted it my way and it was my right. And I realized that by thinking that having my way gives me freedom, in fact, it was submission that gives me freedom. Like, having my way, you know, like, it's quite binding. And when I came to realize giving up my right was beneficial, it freed me up to value other people as opposed to seeing myself as first. And it just goes to, you know, like, going back to our text today. We're going to focus on 3 and 4. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And so, the practice of submission had freed me up to value other people. Not only that, but it's also given me perspective to be able to distinguish between real issues and issues that arise because of my simple stubbornness. It's helped me to celebrate joyfully the successes of others and genuinely grieve with people who are grieving. And also, it's freed me to not feel anger when someone doesn't treat me the way that I think that I should be treated. It's helped me to see things from, like, valuing other people, being submissive to other people. That practice of valuing other people has given me a chance to try to love people unconditionally. You know, like, the Bible is, Jesus has asked us to do crazy, impossible things, like loving our enemies and praying for people that persecute us. And I think that submission is a very good way to practice getting to that place, you know? Submission is a great drama buster. So if you hate drama, practice submission. Or if people around you are dramatic, pray for mutual submission. You know, and pray for me too, because I'm still struggling with this, you know, every day. And so, So in conclusion to this point, self-denial is a way of coming to understand that our happiness and fulfillment does not depend on us getting what we want. In fact, submission is for our own benefit and also for the benefit of others around us, too. So I just use the word self-denial, and in my mind, you know, in the past, that was a very bad word. You know, all those connotations that I said earlier about, like, loss of identity, self-contentment, self-hatred, you know, people being weak, all of that word conjures all these thoughts. And so let me differentiate between self-denial and self-contempt. Self-denial is active, where you're actively denying yourself with the knowledge that you have value. Okay? Self-contempt says that you have no value. Do you know, you know what I mean, the difference? Keeping that in mind, when we know that we have value, we don't have to scream and shout and be like, "Yo, look at me, I have value." So, you know, so when someone disses you, you don't have to be like, "No," you know, and then forwardly have to justify why, you know, why you do have value. When you know your value, it pours out of our lives as proof in the form of submission. so that you're able, so that you're free to submit. You don't have to be, you know, bound by negative thoughts about yourself as well. And so, like, I really believe that Jesus calls us to self-denial without self-hatred. In fact, loving yourself or understanding your value is a prerequisite to beneficially loving other people. I mean, it says, you know, the two great commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, strength, everything. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself, you don't know how to love yourself, right? So yeah, loving yourself is the prerequisite for loving other people beneficially. And I think at this time, I just want to maybe go on a slight tangent and suggest that, you know, if you have issues with submission, and I'm just saying this out of experience because this is something true to me, that that with me having issues with submission, I realized that it was because I didn't see myself as valuable because I didn't know that I was valued. And so if this is something that resonates with you, maybe it's worth asking God to reaffirm your value. I really believe that when we know from Father God that we are precious and that we're loved, and that we are of incredible value to Him, that submission and giving ourselves up for other people would be less of a chore, you know, to know that the same love that God has for me, that deep, deep love that God has for me, He has for my brother or my sister or my mother or my father, whoever else it is on the side. It helps a lot. In actual fact, like coming to SP, being here, my community submitting to some of the things that I've done before was proof of God's love for me as well, embodied in other people, in my brothers and sisters. And so, yeah, and another thing is that, you know, I struggle with jealousy. And so, I mean, like going back to this whole thing with value, jealousy is one issue that I struggle with, and it's because I compare, and it sucks. You know, jealousy has been said, you know, compared to this monster, this green monster that waltz up inside of you, and then like, rah! That's kind of like how I feel sometimes when I get jealous. It's normal 1 minute, and then something happens, and I'm triggered, and I just go crazy in my head and in my heart. And it's that comparison, you know, like God didn't make Janella to be like David, you know, God made Janella to be Janella and God made David to be David. So it's like comparing an apple to an orange, you know, there's no comparison. So I think when I still have to continue to tell myself this or continue to ask God to reaffirm this truth in me so that I can have a heart of submission. Yeah, so I guess at this point I can address identity as well. You know, like I said earlier about how I thought that people who submitted, who were good at submitting, had identity issues or didn't know who they are. So they're like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Or, you know, they would submit to other people but not be strong in their own identity. But if I look at the great submission stories of the Bible, say, for example, Abraham and Isaac, Daniel in the lion's den, MSN, Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then, you know, like these are the people that found their identities through submission, you know. And if I go even further and talk about, you know, the very symbol of our faith, Jesus at the cross, it was through here where they found, or their identity was really, you know, it came out. And so on the same line, I just want to mention about Jesus's radical way of modeling submission, right? So we're going to talking from verse 3 and verse 4 about doing nothing out of selfish conceit, seeing other people, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. And then it talks about, you know, Paul talks about Jesus here, about how our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. So what has Jesus modeled for us? You know, it says that he, even though he was in the very nature God, didn't consider himself equal with God, something, equality, something to be grasped, and made himself nothing, becoming the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And so really Jesus, he was a servant of all. he was a revolutionary. The mere fact that he would even take women seriously, or invited children into his presence. You know, like culturally at that time, it was not common for a Jewish man to lower himself to a position where he would interact with the subordinates in their cult, in that culture. You know, and you know, he had dinner with sinners and he washed the feet of his disciples. Like, no respectable Jewish man or rabbi would ever do things the way that Jesus did. And that's because he saw other people as valuable. You know, he lowered himself and is like, yeah, you know, forget my position. I can wash your feet, or I can come to your house and spend time with you. And he acknowledged people's value. And he lived a life that constantly reaffirmed this. And I mean, even at the moment where he was getting arrested and someone chopped his ear off, or someone chopped some other dude's ear off, like, Jesus, like, if I was at that position, I'd be like, oh my goodness, you know, a chance to get away, or like roundhouse kick somebody and then run off. But then Jesus was like, hey, stop everything. He picks up his ear and puts it back on his face because Jesus saw the value in this person, you know? And that to me is incredible. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna wrap up. So, thanks, man. and so let's, I just want to, yeah, let's just talk about the cross for a quick minute and then we'll finish. Yeah, we were talking about Jesus living a cross life where it's a submissive life. And he also went to the cross in an active, submissive manner. It wasn't as if he was dragged there. You know, like, this whole thing about submission, I think it's important for us to remember that it is an active giving up of ourselves, that it doesn't come from a place of non-value, or that we're not worth, you know, for our rights to be fought for. No, but we have value, and God fights for us. You know, and our job, we submit to each other. There are limits to submission, too. Like, once it becomes destructive, it becomes really destructive, just pure submission. That's why we really need to ask God and follow the Holy Spirit in this whole process. You know, what I'm saying today is not submit. You know, I mean, like, submission, yeah, absolutely. But then God will give you the wisdom in what places and submit to, at what extent, you know? But I mean, even that, I have to second guess myself, because when I look at the cross, like, Jesus submitted everything. And, you know, we were talking about how he was countercultural, and how even though the passage, the typical submission text in Colossians 3, right, talking with Paul addressing wives and addressing children, addressing slaves, in the context of that day, you know, even in the literature of that day, subordinates were not addressed. It was always the people in high positions that were addressed, you know? And so by Paul addressing people that are of a lower status, he's turning the whole culture on its head. And for him to say to fathers, you know, don't aggravate your kids, to say to the husbands, you know, love your wives, at the time, you know, and for the slave owners to be fair to your slaves, at that time, they didn't need to do those things because they were the higher authority. And, you know, these were second-class citizens, if that, you know. And so the way that Jesus has taught us to live life in this radical way of submission changed so much in that culture. When people started, you know, being able to live with one another, this whole thing that Jesus said about, like, loving your enemies became almost a possibility. And so, like, honestly, I think that submission, this radical way in which Jesus modeled submission, is one of the reasons why he got sent to the cross, too, because he was challenging the concept of power at that time. You know, Jesus, who was God, came to wash disciples' feet. You know, Jesus, who was God, came to put ears back on people, you know, like he saw the value in others. And so, so it's just amazing. I just think that it's amazing how now the symbol of our faith was the very instrument that was designed to silence this revolutionary subordination. But Jesus completed that when he actively went to the cross. So, yeah, so this morning, I guess let's go into a time of meditation. I just want to reiterate that Jesus is the one that enables us to be able to submit. And it's through Jesus that we can reap the benefits of self-denial. Not just us, but the community around us as well. And when we are a community of people that willingly submits to each other in love, people of the world will see the countercultural way of the kingdom of God. And that in itself is witness to God's power and his faithfulness and his reality. So as we're meditating right now, if what we talked about earlier in terms of value, if that's you and you need God to reaffirm you, let's just spend a moment just asking God to come into our hearts right now and allow us to see what he sees of us. Allow God to just woo you. Allow God to tell you of your value and how much he loves you. Yeah, let's just have a time of communion with God right now.
No gifts, no power, no wisdom. most in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. What should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Father, we just thank You so much for Your sacrifice for us on the cross and for modeling for us the way in which we shall live life to the fullest with You, God. Thank You for Your love for us and for telling us today once again about how deep Your love is for us. And we just pray these things in Your name. Let's spend some time to pray for our community, for people who are battling cancer and who are going through chemo and having surgery. Let's just cover our brothers and sisters this morning. Let's also pray for people who are ill and need to know the Lord. Let's pray for the people in our congregation with different infirmities and pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for the people in our congregation who are looking for jobs. Thank you.
So our Friday prayer focus, let's pray for the Hong Kong government, for the wealth gap, for revival here in our shiny city, for us to be a light to China, for the local churches, for YWAM, for face-to-face ministries, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and also the Hong Kong Korean Church. Now let's pray for the land in which God's put us on. Let's pray for the missions committee, for Pastor Ricky, myself, Jamie, John Kang, James, and P. Sam, and also Tim Tang. Let's pray for local outreach, for our community center, for Igape, for Homey Ministries, for SP Lights, for Freedom Ministry, and also Bridge and Mother's Choice. Pray for our evening activities for tonight. IP is happening here at church, SPU, GIC, and the river. Let's cover all of these activities. Lastly, let's pray for House Church tonight, McCain and Discovery Bay House Church. Father God, we just thank you for giving us a new day and getting us up early to start this day bright and early. And I just pray, Father, that you would be with my brothers and sisters as they go off on their business today, and help us to submit to each other and to you so that we can enjoy each other and you as well. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name.